And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, September the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2013. And Tuesdays and Thursdays are rumination days. And on this Thursday, we have with us the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Is it as hot there as it is here?
It's really not too bad. It's getting a little warmer, but fairly nice.
Well, it really makes the difference, of course, is the humidity.
Yeah, the humidity is down. There last week we hit a couple of days where I don't know which was higher, the humidity or the temperature.
Well, I can understand it. But on this Thursday, November the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2013, we have a whole bunch of things to take a look at. And we're going to start differently than I thought I was, because today I visited the dentist. Do you ever go to the dentist, Wes?
Yeah, at least once a year.
Yeah, I go once every 3 years, whether I need it or not. But anyway, there was a new lady there to clean my teeth. And I asked her, of course, what religion she was. And you know what she was? She was a nun. In other words, N-O-N-E.
Oh, not an N-U-N.
No. She wasn't an N-U-N. And I said to her, I looked at her, I said, you know, you are the fastest growing religious group in the country. And she wasn't aware of that. And I explained to her, you're somebody who came out of a religious background. She says, yes. Her mom was Methodist and then became Roman Catholic. But she isn't a member of any particular denomination. So I told her about our radio show today, and I said, you don't want to listen because you'll end up becoming Lutheran. So we'll see what happens here.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah, so if Stacy is listening, hi, Stacy, and looking forward to coming back and seeing you again. She's very, very good at what she does. But the nuns are on the rise. And I think it's because they're not being fed in a worship service. Would you agree with me?
I would very much agree with you, and I have some information to share with you in that very area.
Well, what a surprise. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, today I was in a circuit counselor's meeting. As you know, I'm the circuit counselor for the Lincoln Circuit up there in the Havana area. And a circuit comprises anywhere from 7 to 11 churches of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And the counselor, or now they're called visitors. At the last convention, we were now a visitor, not a circuit counselor. We go out and visit our various churches.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was talking with one from another part of our Central Illinois district, and he was saying to me that he has made a lot of inroads with other denominations in his local town. They're coming to him and learning about law and gospel. He said that there's just they can't go and preach some of the theology that's so empty in their churches.
You know, as you well know, and I was up in your area last night in Springfield, Illinois, and did an hour presentation to a group of people at one of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations. I'll be there next Wednesday also at 7 o'clock, God willing. And I was going through Law and Gospel and had a number of good responses to what they had heard. And I think I've already told you, when I drive around, I'll be coming up to your church this Sunday. I listen to other radio stations, and you can tell immediately whether it's a Lutheran sermon or a non-Lutheran sermon, because the Lutheran sermons are focused on Christ. They're focused on forgiveness. They're focused on the cross. They're focused on baptism. They're focused on the Lord's Supper. And most other sermons aren't focused on any of those things, but maybe principles of life.
And you are very much correct. In fact, that pastor I talked to, Missouri Synod pastor, said that they were listening to Missouri Synod radio stations or services like KFUO or a few others, and they were starting to mimic those very things.
In fact, I know you do have your sermon service, I think the first service on the radio. I dare say there's probably a lot of people who aren't Lutheran listening to you because they're getting fed by you better than they're getting fed by their own church.
Well, I do know this, that in talking with a number of the townspeople, they say, I know you because I listen to you every Sunday before I go to church.
Wow.
You know, that they make it a point to pick up our radio broadcast and listen to the sermon. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, as you know, when I went up to Havana, one of the staples of my reintroduction back into the congregation from being in district work was to pick up and listen to a broadcast like yours, Law Gospel, and spend hours listening to those distinctions and then carrying that gospel of Jesus Christ in that same era across the radio waves.
Yes. So we're going to be talking more about nuns and how to reach out to them, because I think, particularly in Lutheranism, we have a message that not only feeds them, but really meets their needs. And I had a bit of that conversation, but that was kind of private with the dental assistant. But I'm looking forward to, you know, going back and maybe talking to her again. All right. I want you to turn to Matthew 27, verse 52, in preparation for this email that I received. Tom, I'm going to have a discussion with an atheist soon. He mentioned that one of the Bible passages he cites as evidence that the Bible is not believable is Matthew 27, 52, and 53. Do you have any thoughts, comments by Lutheran theologians? I've done my research, feel that I have a reasonable amount of references, but certainly would like to know if more is available. And I actually did phone this listener. He lives in California. And I gave him some more insights. But let me read Matthew 27, 52 and 53, and then I want you to respond, Wes. It's after the crucifixion of Jesus, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared too many. So this atheist wants to use that verse to show how unbelievable and untrue the Bible is. How would you respond to that?
I'm trying to figure that out myself, how he would even come to that, you know, Christ's death is the death over sin. And, of course, we are raised to new lives in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the saints that are coming out of the graves were all believers, and they were all in heaven when they were raised. So they were proof of that resurrection, which previous to the Holy Week, we had that famous resurrection account of Lazarus.
Yes,
where Jesus raised him from the dead, and Mary or Martha and Jesus have that interchange, you know, and she knows that Lazarus will be raised on the last day and resurrected. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were to die, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die."
So, well, what I've discovered, remember, we're trying to say, how would you answer it to an atheist?
Right.
Now, your answer would be great for a Christian, but an atheist doesn't believe the Bible. That's why he's an atheist. So how would you respond to an atheist about Matthew 27, 52, and 53? Because he thinks it's ridiculous that these people would have risen from the dead.
Well, it proves to me, as I would say to an atheist, it has everything. It's not going to talk to a person on a level that I think you got me on that one right now. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, well, what I would say is this tells me more about the atheist than it does about the Bible. I mean, how can he not believe this? Does he believe that Jesus rose from the dead? That's my first question to him. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? You're just having trouble these saints did? And pretty soon I'll get him to finally confirm that he really doesn't believe the Bible at all.
Well, that goes into, I think you said that in a previous broadcast, didn't you, about getting them to talk about where their source of information is. It themselves? Is it the Bible?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good reminder. The three were, you're either getting them from Holy Scripture, you're getting them from tradition, you're getting them from your reason, or you're getting them from your experience. Those were the four, and I thought that was really helpful. And what do you think the atheist would say? He would say that's not reasonable. And I would look at him then and say, well, there's nothing in the Bible that's reasonable. I said this to the people last night. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who died on the cross for your sins and rose for your justification, that is ridiculous. You have to have the faith of the given to you by the Holy Spirit to believe that, because it doesn't make any common sense at all. It's not against logic, but if you're going to use the world as a way of looking at the Bible, there's nothing we ever find in the world that's supernatural. And yet the Bible is full of the supernatural. So what you have in an atheist is someone who denies the supernatural. He is what we would call a materialist. Everything has to have an answer by the senses. I don't know if you ever watched this television program. It's called Bones. She's kind of an archaeologist, but she tags up with this FBI agent, and they try and solve murders when they only have, say, the bones of a person left over from the murder. And it's amazing. Every now and then they get into a situation where it looks like it's not possible that something happened. And she always says, no, there is a reason. All we have to do is use our reason and our mind until we find it, because there's nothing supernatural. There's nothing miraculous. So when an atheist starts out that way, and that's the only way you can be an atheist, you have to look at the whole world and think it comes about by a progression of some sort, which is really irrational from my point of view, that human beings came from monkeys or whatever you want to say. So a lot of times I wouldn't argue on the basis of the Bible with an atheist, because we also agree that Christianity is a radical religion that hardly makes any sense.
That's right. Well, there again, you know, faith comes from hearing.
That's it.
The Word of God and the Holy Spirit is the one that works that faith.
And apart from that hearing by the Holy Spirit, nobody is going to understand the Scripture or come to a knowledge of it.
Right.
All righty. A couple of other things here. Last time you were on, we had some rules for teachers, and received another set in the email. These are rules for teachers from 1872. Last week we had them from 1915. Teachers each day will fill lamps and clean chimneys. Each teacher will bring a bucket of water and scuttle of coal for the day's session. Men teachers may take one evening each week for courting purposes, or two evenings a week if they go to church regularly. After 10 hours in school, the teachers may spend the remaining time reading the Bible or other good books. Women teachers who marry or engage in unseemly conduct will be dismissed. Now, I had to read that a couple of times. It sounds like a woman teacher who marries will be dismissed. That's what it says. So I think part of the reason is a lot of times, especially if a woman teacher, say, marries a pastor, she follows him wherever he goes. And so that means they're going to lose their woman teacher.
Right.
Any teacher who smokes, uses liquor in any form, frequents pool or public halls, or gets shaved in a barber shop will have given reason to suspect his worth, intention, integrity, and honesty. Why the barber shop? Shaved in a barber shop. I didn't figure that one out. Can you think of anything?
I don't know why, unless the men are gossiping in the barbershop. I don't think.
Oh, that's not a bad point. I didn't even think of that. That's probably correct. That a barbershop would be a place. You see, why isn't that true about going to the dentist?
You can't talk.
Yes. And a couple of times she was asking me questions while my mouth was being used. And so I went, glug, 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 glug. You know? She says, well, I haven't finished the question. Oh, that's the worst place to try and get a conversation going there. But as you can see, we've changed our rules quite a bit when it comes.
But it isn't just only teachers. I had an uncle that was a missionary down in Brazil.
Yes.
And he used to say that he'd have confirmation at school, early in the morning during the week for the kids. First thing he had to do was get a big pit of logs together with fire so that the kids could warm up when they got to school. And the second thing he did is his wife, my aunt, would have to fix a meal for the kids.
Oh, my.
Because they hadn't had any breakfast.
Yep.
So, there's a lot of things.
No, absolutely. Numbers here are 821-0850 in the St. Louis area, and anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, tomorrow's going to be Open Mic Friday, so if you want to hold off your questions, that's fine, and we can continue our conversation. This is an email from a member of a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation, but his wife is a member of a Presbyterian church. So they kind of go each week to both. And he says when he was in the Presbyterian church, the preacher was preaching about Joshua, where it was Joshua 24, verse 19. Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord." The minister speculated on why Joshua would say such a discouraging thing. "What kind of pastor would say that?" he asked. I whispered to my wife, "A Lutheran pastor." The minister, though, concluded that Joshua was using a kind of reverse psychology on the people to spur them into serving the Lord. At that point, I was glad that I listened to Law and Gospel so that I could discern a better interpretation. Here's my thinking, and then I want you to respond, Wes. Joshua is telling the people that they are incapable of serving in a righteous manner. The people's comeback in verse 21 is, "No, we will serve the Lord." Joshua's response, "You are witnesses against yourselves." The people say, "Yes, we are witnesses." They seem to have just convicted themselves because only the gospel will save them. I don't think the Twin Oaks pastor quite conveyed that. So, what's your take on what he says?
He conveyed it that they convicted himself. I would agree with him,
When Joshua says you're not able to serve the Lord, you're saying he really means that.
Yes, we are. Yeah, by myself, I can't serve the Lord.
Yes.
I know that I'm a pastor in a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, but you know as well as I do that on Sunday morning when we talk to the people about and they confess their sins, we say in the stead and by the command, "I forgive you all your sins." The command of my Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through Christ that we are able to serve. It is the Holy Spirit, that has made us clean. It's God that is working through us, Christ that is working through us by ourselves. No, we can't serve the Lord.
Well said. As I said, our numbers are 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go and talk with Diane. Hi, Diane. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Tom, and what was the other pastor's name?
Pastor Wes Reimnitz.
Reimnitz. Hi, Pastor Reimnitz. Anyway, rewind a little bit about the rule about the women in the barbershop.
Yes.
That's kind of like women in the locker room. And also, I think it's a judgment on what righteous woman would want to go into a barbershop.
Oh, okay. Let me just see. I'm almost sure that when I read that. Yeah, here it is. It sounds like, though, he's talking about male teachers, because he says any teacher who gets shaved in a barbershop will have given reason to suspect his worth, intention, integrity, and honesty. And so I think you would be right. I don't, you know, women don't go to barbershops. They go to hairdressers.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was you were talking about women. I was like, whoa.
So if it's a man, can you figure out why they were saying that? Because I can't.
No.
No, I can't either.
I didn't think about that.
But thank you for calling, and okay. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
Bye.
Okay, bye. All righty. Our numbers here are 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Okay, any other thoughts that you have on those items there, Wes?
Which one?
Well, the Joshua 24... about you are unable to serve the Lord.
Well, you know, also when Josh was there, he went on to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
That's right. You know? Yes.
And of course, it's from a gospel perspective that through Christ I'm able to do all things. Paul said it in Philippians. You know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And so, you know, it really comes down to a life that we have with Christ. You know, as you know, one of the things I've been trying to work on is a stewardship series on generous living or generous giving to a generous Savior. Because when you think about our giving of our time, our money, whatever we do, it's always in response to what that generous Savior has done for us. Yeah, I mean, can we begin to think of anything that Christ hasn't done for us?
Yes, exactly. Okay, next point. This actually is a St. Louis story, but I think we're going to have to hold up on that because we always promise we want to go to the phone lines first. So let's go talk to John in St. Louis. Hi, John.
Hello, pastors. How you doing?
Very good.
Fine. Hey, I do go to a Presbyterian church in Twin Oaks, and I am not sure if it's the same church, but I would agree 100% with what y'all said, because I'd have to say if I ever heard anything like that at the church I attended, I would have a problem with that.
Yes.
We are not able to obey the Lord. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we must cling to.
To whom do you give all the credit? Because I know you, John, personally, that you do have a lot of fruit of the Holy Spirit. Who do you give credit to for that?
All glory and honor goes to God through Jesus Christ.
That's well said. That's well said.
Very good.
Can I ask you one quick question? I would have called tomorrow, but I got a job interview tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
But go ahead.
There's concern that there was these... a singing group that was coming to church, and they were charging admission to it. And I was asking, well, are they performing or is it a worship service? And it was said passionately, it's a worship service. I said, well, it can't be a worship service if there's a charge admission. And the argument was made, well, they got to make their living in charge. I said, well, that would come through a collection offering, and said, we ought to never charge if there's a gospel presentation and or worship. And
A regular worship service, regularly timed, the normal one?
Well, actually, there's a midweek service, so it was taking up the midweek service.
Yes, okay.
Then, but they were charging admission
for
where the gospel was, because I asked, is the gospel going to be presented to unbelievers?
Right.
And they said, yeah, that's, no way.
No.
But anyway...
All right, let's talk about that because we only have a few moments left. Thank you for calling, John. Wes, what do you think about charging?
I agree with John. If it's a worship service and if it's a charge, congregation should pick up the charge. Like you're coming up this weekend to do the worship service at Vanna for me. As you know, I had some surgery last week on my knee and I can't get up and down. we pay you to come and take care of that. We don't expect to charge the congregation or members for them to come and listen to you. And if we have a musical group come in that's special, we will pay their expenses and pay for their whatever fees that they have.
Or might even take a donation after the service.
Right,
yes.
Right. Or, yes, a free will collection. You betcha.
No, and I really appreciate that $15 I get from your church for coming up there.
Well, we'll make it $16.50 for you.
Oh, I'll be able to stop at the dollar store at McDonald's on the way up. By the way, since we're both going to be there this Sunday, why don't you tell a little bit about where it's at?
Well, it's, of course, Havana. On Saturday, we have church at 6 p.m. Sunday, we're on the WDuck FM station at 7:45, 9 o'clock Bible class, and 10:15 at the corner of Pearl and Market Street in Havana, Illinois, right on the Illinois River.
Excellent. So if you want to see both Wes and I Sunday, that's the time to come to Havana, Illinois. I'm Tom Baker, and we thank you so very much for being with us right now. And we look forward to you continuing to listen to KFUO as other programs will continue to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ. Open Mic Friday tomorrow. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.